Football on Off the Ball.
With Sky. Watch every single live Premier League game on Sky Sports, BT Sport and Premier Sports.
You're very welcome back. Joe Malloy with you this evening. The football show is brought to you by Sky. Don't miss Southampton, West Ham and the FA Cup tomorrow, Wednesday, live on Premier Sports. Speaking of the FA Cup, this evening we have three games. Peterborough 0, Manchester City 2 is a full-time result. Crystal Palace also progressed through to the next round. They were 2-1 winners at home to Stoke City. 10 minutes to go between Middlesbrough and Spurs and it's 0-0 in that game. Meanwhile, in the Premier League, one game this evening at Turf Moor, Leicester City 1-0 up away to Burnley is how things stand. Very happy to bring in Adam Pope of BBC Leeds. Adam, great to have you on.
Thanks, Joe. Good to hear you.
Marcelo Bielsa. There is a sadness over Yorkshire, I think. Everything I've seen is of bereft Leeds United fans saying a very sad and fond farewell to Marcelo Bielsa. It must be as popular, we were trying to think of examples, maybe Bobby Robson at Newcastle, but must be as popular a man walking out the door as ever there has been when it comes to a sacking.
Yeah, and absolutely right. There is a very clear sense of mourning for, you know, the fan base, and it is literally to man, woman, and child. And you've got to be careful in these times when so much is going on elsewhere in the world. Not to overstate it, Joe, but people do feel like that someone very special has been lost, and you know, a bit of soul of football, and another club has gone with him, and it's not the way it should have ended. Many feel that he should have stayed to the end of the season, or at least maybe these next three games where there's a real chance of getting, you know, sort of back on track. It is a precarious position, but there's no doubt he leaves with his legacy intact and, you know, untarnished by what's happened in the last few games. And people are just sad, Joe, that they're not had the chance to say goodbye to him properly.
He has been in the past a man to walk out in a job. There's no sense here that he wanted to get out of Elland Road or felt that things had come to a natural end himself, was there?
No, absolutely not. I mean, first, you're right, 170 games in to a career at Leeds United, and I think it was 81 wins, which is incredible. So clearly that record alone, the stats would say that it would suggest that he was able to turn this around. And he was defiant even on Saturday, where by which time I think we actually, it may well be as it turned out that he knew before, but even Saturday night he felt he was having the confidence to be able to turn this around. And he's gone, if you remember rightly, Joe, he went through sticky situations in every season he's been at Leeds, the three full seasons before. You know, there were long spells of games where they weren't winning or it looked like they were going off the rails, particularly in the promotion season. And there was a game at Nottingham Forest where it really was the sort of watershed moment that they came back and got a point at Brentford in difficult circumstances. And then, of course, once COVID hit, you know, they sort of romped home either side of that. So I think there's a lot of people, and I put myself in there, felt that he deserved that chance to sort of keep them in the division because he knows these players. And that's what makes this a gamble now, Joe, is picking up these players with 12 to go.
So what was different this time for the owners, do you think?
Well, very interesting hearing the words of the majority shareholder, which remains Andrea Radrizzani, the chairman at the moment. You know, he has 56% of the club compared to the 49ers, 44%. But they were there, or some part of their investment on were there in the form of Peter Lowy, who's a director of the club, on Saturday as well. So the decision's been made, and Andrea took it upon himself to say it was his responsibility to make the toughest of decisions in his time there. Praised Marcelo for being an idol and a legend and what have you, but felt there was something broken and that it was irreparable in his eyes and it had to be mended now. And that meant accelerating Jesse March into this position, which was going to happen in the summer anyway, quite clearly. I think we all thought it would happen. Basically, Andrea said there was going to be a change in the summer. He just didn't have faith in seeing that Marcelo turn it around. Heavy defeats. Everybody's talked about the stats, Joe. 20 goals in 5 games, 4 straight defeats. It was difficult to see how they were going to turn it around in that particular month. But, you know, you think Leicester away, Aston Villa at home, Norwich at home particularly, every chance that they could have got, say, 4 points coming up and just steadied the ship a little bit and moved on. And then in the summer, you say goodbye and it's the perfect sort of ending, isn't it? But it's not like that, is it? There's a lot at stake here. There's a ground expansion to 60,000 to pay for. The Premier League money will help do that. And they want European football within 3 to 5 years. And to do that, they've got to stay in the Premier League.
There's no doubt injuries didn't help. Calvin Phillips, Liam Cooper, Patrick Bamford, these start to weigh up on a squad of Leeds' depth. And I know in the West Ham game last month, I think 7 of the 9 substitutes were teenagers. So you wonder if allowances should have been made for that kind of a situation as well. I mean, Brendan Rodgers can attest, like, if I just don't have my best players, then things aren't going to be as smooth as they otherwise would be. So in his favour, there is certainly that. What was increasingly coming against him, if you listen to the pundits talking, is almost this sense that, I think Gary Lineker said it on Match of the Day, like, in the history of the football, man for man has never quite worked. You know, it's putting too much of an onus on each individual to be perfect at all moments. Now, on the one hand, I thought, well, it's hard to argue with that at the moment. On the other hand, it clearly had been working for quite some time. So I'm torn on his approach, Bielsa's approach.
Well, firstly, you can't divorce the two, can you?
No.
The injuries and the ability to go one-on-one against the best squads in the world, many of the best squads in the world. So firstly, he never used it as an excuse. You know that, Joe. He never, ever used it as an excuse. And at one point in December, I think around about the Arsenal defeat, they were into double figures in terms of injuries and one suspension. Suspension is quite rare in Bielsa teams, although this year they have racked up a lot of yellows, but it's very rare that they have one or two suspended. But they were into double figures with injuries and they were key injuries. And you've mentioned them there, the spine of the team. And don't forget the leadership of Liam Cooper, who's been out as well as long as Calvin has. And Bamford, the top scorer, of course, and the only real natural striker by young Joe Gellhart at the club. Yeah, he's been out pretty much all season. So there's injuries and there are injuries. And you're right, it's massively affected their ability to then go man-to-man because they've lost their best players. And I think one of the best examples recently, Joe, was the Manchester United game where they brilliantly got back to 2-2, missed a great chance to go 3-2 ahead and then lose the game. You had Adam Forshaw, who's been unbelievable coming back from, you know, 2 years out, had a really brilliant game for Leeds, but Pogba one-on-one with him, beat him 3 times in the first half. And that's just because you've got, you know, a potentially world-class, he's not consistent enough really to call him that, I wouldn't say, Pogba, but just doing what he can do best in key moments against a player who's giving everything, but simply is just not as good as him, although he had a great game. And when you've got that scenario, you lose those margins and you're exposed, aren't you? So, and that's what's been happening. And plus some rank poor defending as well, you have to say. I mean, the set-piece scenario from corners, I think it's 8 now, isn't it, that they've conceded from. Again, he always looked at it as a unit, did Marcelo, and I get that, and he took full responsibility for it. But quite simply, I think some of the players, and some of them, you know, Spain internationals, Llorente particularly, I think lately has been particularly poor in defending one-on-one situations, and that's been very costly. But, you know, and let's face it, if it wasn't for the keeper, some of these fours, fives and sixes could have been even more.
No, that's the thing. And was there much rancour amongst the fans? Were many saying, OK, look, when everything's going well and we have our full-strength squad, we trust in Marcelo Bielsa, and who are we to question Bielsa? But man, at the moment, you've got to have some kind of a plan B here. I mean, we've got to go 5 at the back and shut up shop just to get a few results. I mean, that's football, that's life sometimes. Was that sentiment widespread at all amongst the fans?
I mean, it's always been there through difficult times, and it was growing, and the dissenters were growing, but they were nowhere near the majority. And I've always got to say, you've got to be careful of the Twitterati, haven't you? But inside the ground, the support for him was always there. And yeah, you know, once the kickoff, you know, the crowd always got behind. There were boos at half time because there were 3 down in half an hour. So yeah, it's to be expected, I suppose. But there's been a constant clamour for that plan B. The thing is, I will always say, and we knew this from the start, there's never going to be a plan B with Bielsa. You keep doing plan A. And for those that aren't aware, Joe, it's because his philosophy is, I play this way, it's attacking, it's attractive, and we go through the thirds. It's not like there isn't a defensive plan, there is quite clearly, but it's to win the ball back high up in the park. But the whole idea is that if you have a plan that's easily deconstructed, then it isn't a strong plan. And he says these guys have been working to this plan, you know, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, and like we've been taught tonight, it's worked in the main, hasn't it? I mean, promotion, you know, 2 very good seasons in the Championship, one that was desperately sad to lose out in the first attempt, and a utterly brilliant season last year in the Premier League.
Yeah, and like he's brought Leeds back to the big time, and he's done it in such exciting fashion. And as a neutral and not a Leeds fan, if Leeds were on the TV, I tended more often than not to watch it because I knew the game was going to be so alive. So I suspect there's a large quotient of Leeds fans who would happily say, let's take our medicine this year. If we go down with Marcelo, next year will be a whole lot of fun. and let's have a crack again the year after in the Premier League. And like, otherwise, what's the point of sport? Like, what's the point in turning up down the road if I'm not seeing football I don't enjoy? So I suspect that sentiment's out there as well, which brings us to Jesse Marsh. I'd say for Leeds fans now, it's hard to go from Bielsa to anyone. So Jesse Marsh, are they excited?
Yeah, and it's harder to do it at this stage, isn't it, Joe, as well, when you say you are literally putting your feet into the shoes of a living legend that has gone against the will of much of the fan base, you know, a lot of the fan base. So that makes it extra hard. It would have been hard enough in the summer following, you know, the Lord Mayor's show, if you like. Mm. So we've yet to meet him face-to-face yet. We're going to do that on Thursday. So I haven't got a personal relationship yet with Jesse Marsh, but I've spoken to a lot of people that have known him going back a long time, back to his time at Montreal, when he was the inaugural manager for Montreal Impact and others. And they do speak very well of him. I would say in terms of the support base at the moment, it's one of those, it's like the anger's will subside about the Bielsa dismissal. The mourning will continue. They will sing his name, no doubt. It's probably a help for Jesse that they're away at Leicester at lunchtime rather than being on a road first, just maybe. But what will happen come Saturday will be, look, it's happened. They've got to get behind him because the team is in, you know, a difficult position, not least. And they want to, obviously they want to stay in the Premier League quite clearly. I'm not one of those that says it's good to go down and come back up because it's so difficult to do that. And you know, before long, you can go through to another division as we've seen with Leeds and others before. So they have to stay up. And for that reason alone, he'll get the support of the fans. He's taught well so far, Joe. Mm. You know, he's been very respectful about Bielsa, and he says he's been an admirer of him from when he was the assistant to the USA team. I think his first game was against Bielsa's Chile at the time. So he said all the right things there, and he's talked about his style of play, which should meld quite well what the players are used to. It is aggressive. There is a press there. It's a bit different. It's not all man-to-man from what I can make out. I've studied a bit of his, you know, his philosophy, and there's a lot of his coaching webinars everywhere too. So he's got a very distinct way of playing. But I think what we will see, and I think fans will appreciate that, I'm sure players will too, that are probably a bit more touchy-feely type approach and a bit more holistic maybe in terms of, you know, getting everybody's ideas and not being quite so distant as Bielsa appeared at times, I would say. You know, he always said, look, it's not good to get too close to your players, but in his own way, that's exactly what he became, didn't he? He became that father figure and great mentor and developer. But Marsh's style is going to be different, I think. And already you can see he's very sort of, you know, up and at him and very positive thinking. And he has to be that. He has to be that, hasn't he? He's got to make that impression straight away. So it's going to be really interesting seeing him on Thursday and just seeing whether he goes, Joe, things like, will he go with two up top against Leicester, which would be suddenly changes the dynamic for players like, you know, Gerhard and, say, Rodrigo, or, you know, whether he goes with, you know, does he think right? Because he plays more centrally rather than down the wings than, say, a Bielsa side does. So what happens to Rafinha or something like that? Does he go more centrally now? And does Dan James sort of stick out into his more natural berth on the wing? It'd be really interesting to see how he sets up for that first game.
Okay. Adam Pope of BBC. Thanks so much, Adam. Appreciate it.
Pleasure, Joe.
Cheers.